Good morning. And I see a few faces I haven't seen for a while. Nice to see you all. Thank you for coming today. Just a lot of little bits and pieces of things here. I'm not sure exactly how this is going to go this morning. I do have in my article really the details, and I'll get to that in a couple minutes, about, you know, the things that will take place and not take place in the coming weeks, and then I find out all the same things are in the announcements, which is almost longer than my homily. So this is just a preview. Let me start, first of all, by thanking you, particularly those who came to the receptions last weekend on Saturday and Sunday. I was really very grateful for your kind and generous gifts. And it struck me at Mass last evening at 4, in light of the second half of today's gospel, and that you have blessed me and, dare I say, rewarded me. Someone actually gave me a trophy. Benny Anderson, she's back there somewhere. She's in the choir now. And I think it said hero on it. And she kind of laughed, and I kind of laughed, and no, I'm a hero. Anyways, I kind of forget the thought, but I'm going to try to squeak it in there anyways. Whoever receives a prophet, because he is a prophet, receives a prophet reward, a righteous man's reward, etc. Because the little one is a disciple, I am and have been, and pray God will continue to be, a disciple of Jesus. And by the grace of God, I hope and trust, blessed you. And it's maybe a less direct, but I intentionally do it as a direct thank you for the way you've blessed me. Because so many of you, I don't know, numbers don't really matter that much. There's well over 60 or so cards. I'm not going to send thank you notes. For the first time in all these years, I always send thank you notes because I like to do that. I like to write a note in this and that. This is it. So if you're waiting for a note, thank you. I think you'll appreciate and remember the Lamorados. Are they here today? Omega's there. I don't see Sam back there. Anyway, they gave me a box of Minute White Rice. And you know why. And some other things, too. So there's something of a message there, really, for all of us, because when I say I'm a disciple of Jesus, I'm not bragging, because you are, too. Just in case you didn't know. Well, no, I'm Catholic, and I go to church. I'm not really a disciple. Well, then you're missing the boat, honey. We're all disciples. And when we do the works of God, they come back and bless us. Now, don't be confused by that, because the blessings don't always feel like blessings, do they? You know, no good deed goes unpunished sometimes. You know what I mean? Al knows because he's shaking his head. And I don't mean that in any negative way. If we're doing it right, it's not easy to be a disciple of Jesus, particularly in today's world. It's a different world today, is it not? Like, wow. I can only hope to say, to not be afraid. I feel with you the challenges and the changes that are happening without the daily Mass anymore now and losing the 4 o'clock Mass on Saturday, etc. But I just did read something, or maybe I read it just yesterday, I think. For God to build us up or to rebuild us, there has to be a certain tearing down. Now, no one likes that, and maybe a more common way to say that, nobody likes change. But the reality is the most constant thing in life is going to be change. It's true for the church, necessarily so, is it not? The church needs to change a bit. The fundamental truths are not going to change. They're never going to change. Someone wrote me in their note, in their card, you know, this came to me years ago, and Sue Gordon, who was the DRE at the time, put it on one of the prayer cards, put it on a prayer card during, I think, the vocation dinner. Love is truth, God is love, Jesus Christ is God. And the note that someone sent said, you know, Father, I've always remembered that, and I say that every day, and I'm gonna copy it, I'm gonna put it on a mug someday. So then I'll have a mug shot. And even a few people actually wrote that they appreciated my sense of humor. There she is right there. Building down, tearing down is hard. But we need it politically and socially as well, do we not? I don't know what God's doing in the world with politics and the realities, but it's kind of messy now. And the inclination would be to be afraid. But as you know, because I've been telling you for the 21 years that I've been here, that God's still in charge. God is in the building. So don't be afraid. And that goes most immediately and most personally to every one of us individually. The times I've said, if you're not at home in your own skin, look in the mirror. What needs to change inside any of us? And that's hard. Yesterday was the healing mass. There was 30 people here or more. It was long. A lot of physical healing people wanted. Cancers and pains and aches and this and things, some healing, some inner healing, and it was a long but grace-filled evening. And I can only say, because I know you know, it takes a lot of courage to come to that mass, particularly if the work is a more inner one. But I challenge all of you, all of us, to do that work from the inside out. Because that's the only way you're really going to find Christ on the inside. All the times I've said, you know, it was actually a therapist, a spiritual director, who said, you know, wear the coat of the church lightly. The church is essential. But it's Christ we believe in. So if we do our own inner work and we find ourselves at home with ourselves, mindful and confident that Christ is in ourselves, then we don't have to be blown here and there, hither and yon, back and forth, because of church, world, kingdom, politics, and all the rest. Not easy to see, hear, or be attentive to day by day. It's very difficult. But if we know ourselves in Christ, and we do our inner work emotionally, psychologically, spiritually, morally, relationally, etc. And I don't mean let's be hair therapy. Just look in the mirror and what's your truth? What's your inner truth? What's your light? What's your goodness? It's there. I can see it. Find that out so you're not swayed by every opinion or projection somebody wants to dump on you. How am I doing? How about that? No, I'm not done yet. None of this is written down. I have no idea how long we're going to be here. But it seems important to make that point. Things have to break down. But God's always in the breaking down because he's in the rebuilding. How many times have we heard year by year by year by year the times Israel was conquered and driven into exile? Again, Israel is a metaphor. It's an image of all humanity, the world. All the things that we endure and go through is God's blessing, challenge, invitation, to come back better and stronger. I said it last week. And I read that too. It came up at appropriate time. As messy as the world is and feels right now, every day, we're being drawn closer and closer to God. And the kingdom of God is closer day by day. It is. The world's in the best shape it's ever been in. You're not going to read that in the paper. But if you realize and accept that we are spiritual beings and we live in an incarnate world, we ourselves incarnate and God himself becoming incarnate. We can't love God in and of and for and by ourselves. I'm going to decide to love God. It doesn't work like that. Oh, I love God. Our love for God is a response to his love for us. Basic principle of spirituality. God initiates, we respond. And as I just read this morning, religion can be very rich and powerful and transforming, but often it's not. Because people don't go beyond religion. We practice the religion and its rubrics and its rules. The challenge, of course, is that we allow ourselves to be touched from the inside. That's not easy in today's culture. Constantly bombarded by comforts and interesting and stimulating things. And I've been saying in recent months, years probably, you know, the epidemic of loneliness. And even beyond loneliness, not only young people, but particularly young people and others as well, not only lonely, but they feel a lack of a sense of belonging. That's not a healthy society. You're blessed to be here. You're blessed to have a parish church and a parish community because it gives you a sense of belonging and living and believing in something larger than yourself. It's a lot to think about. But it is the reality of the grace of God that we proclaim and preach and, by God, believe day by day. Tuesday's the 30th. It'll be my last day in the parish. I might have to stay maybe a half a day longer and write a strongly written letter to the bulletin publishers because it didn't show up again. So this week, you can read last week's bulletin, and maybe by the grace of God next week, you can read what I wrote for today. I have the singular copy. Oddly enough, I'm not even looking at it yet. I'll leave the details for the announcements because all the same things are there. You can. We've made the announcements about the daily mass and Saturday mass, etc. So those things are in the announcements. So I'll just leave that for now. As I said last Sunday, you know, there's no last word. No, there's no conclusion. There's no last homily. I am trying to say things that not only are pertinent and meaningful to me, but might in fact be pertinent and helpful for you. In light of the readings today, it doesn't feel like it from the gospel, but the broad theme today from the readings is hospitality. That we welcome those who come to us, or we afford ourselves an openness to those who cross our paths in one form or another so that we can be of some assistance to them. Oh, I don't know, maybe sort of tongue-in-cheek regarding the first reading. Elisha, of course, was the followed Elijah, and he followed around and he visited or stayed at the house of this influential woman. And so they, because they were influential, meaning they had money, they built him a spare room and he stayed there and he was very grateful. And hey, what can I do for her? Well, she has no baby. Presumption is she wanted one. Well, they didn't ask the husband what he thought. Like I said, that was kind of tongue-in-cheek, maybe even cheeky. But notice the point there. Elijah was blessed, and so he blessed back. Now, don't get it wrong. It's not tit for tat. If God blesses us, it's not like, oh, God's not up there. Hey, you know, you're three favors behind. You owe me something. That's not the point. The point is, if we're going to live the Christian life, there has to be a mindful readiness to respond to the needs that are right in front of us. You remember the story, what was it, 2 months ago maybe, weeks or months ago, the lady in Costco that I could have, would have, should have helped, and I didn't. I didn't think fast enough, or too embarrassed, or too shy, whatever. There has to be a readiness, a ready mindfulness, so that when Jesus says in the gospel, whoever loves father, mother, sons, daughters, etc., more than me, is God merely being jealous there? No, he's not at all. Love your husband or your wife. Love your children and love them well. But do it in the mind, in the heart, in the reality of God in Christ is really the point. God is always first. Always. So for all you who are married, and were married in the Catholic Church or a religious ceremony, you wanted your marriage with your spouse and for your children to be blessed by God as a sacrament, saying that you wanted God to be the source and origin and the stability of your love for your beloved. That's still true today, not just on the wedding day. So that really reminds us that God is always with us, is immediate, and is present as breath by breath. That's a homily in itself, but I'll save that for another time. Ruah, the word for spirit, wind, breath. Breathe in the good air. Breathe out the bad air. Every breath is an activity of God in and out of you. And we are dependent on God in a loving way for our next breath. Whoever finds their life will lose it. Whoever finds the way, I finally got my life the way I wanted, this is going to be great. What'd you find? Something that makes you comfortable. And then you wake up 6 months or a year or 40 years later and say, wow, I really lost myself. I thought I was happy because I was comfortable, but now I realize I'm just self-occupied and selfish. Whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. Did you ever do something good for somebody else and walk away feeling bad about it? No. I was on the phone with Debbie yesterday. She was in Costco or somewhere. And we're talking away. No, hang on a second, hang on. And there's noise coming in through. Oh, I know what, you know? Well, no, there's a lady kind of with a walk. She's trying to get through the door. I just stopped to hold the door for her. Oh, good for you. She blessed, and she was blessed. And I had to learn to be patient for 30 seconds. It almost killed me, but I survived. You can do that too. So overall, in that mood of hospitality, considering today's gospel. Allow the love of Christ to flow into you and through you to others, because doing so will help wash away the inevitable doubt and fear and uncertainty that we all feel today for a myriad of any reason, mistrust and those kinds of things. Reaching beyond self to others will help us feel connected, because we will feel more of a sense of belonging as we reach to things larger than ourselves. My sister and her family are here from Ann Arbor. Her niece, you got to get embarrassed, Anna. Sorry. Anna just finished medical school. She's going to be an OBGYN doctor at Corwell and at Royal Oak there. Starting when? Wednesday. I'm not going to be there anymore. So if any of you are thinking about having a baby, ergo the first reading, you might know somebody over there. That sense of belonging is so important. And part of that fracture that happened has been coming socially for a half of a generation, but it fast-forwarded because of COVID. So that's the context out of which these comments come. It takes a ready mindfulness, an awareness of Christ ever present within ourselves, and believing that. It's not just a religious idea, it's a reality of the grace of God and the essence of God within every one of us. So that we're called to be in the mind and the attitude of Christ, holding his thoughts along with our own, lest we become unaware of the one who is our source and origin. We're invited to depend not only on our own thoughts, but on the ways of the Lord as we make our plans for the day. You know how that goes. Lord, you know, it's really been a great day so far. I haven't yelled at anybody. I haven't been impatient. I didn't hurt anybody yet. You know, in any minute now, I'm going to get out of bed and I'm going to need a lot more help.
You know what I mean?
This kind of thinking and being reminds us we're really never alone. Too often we do fall into a dull awareness of self-preoccupation, which is otherwise known as selfishness, concerned with our own interests. Pay attention to where your attention takes you, and if you find yourself lost somewhere, let yourself be drawn back by the awareness of the Lord. As you're making your plans without the mind and the heart of the Lord, it's how we lose ourselves without even knowing it. I can't tell you how many people we've worked with in inner healing, and eventually I might say, or Deborah might have said, well, are you the person you're supposed to be? Do you know who you are? And I can still remember one person. It was a woman, mid-late 50s. No, I'm not. And I remember when it happened. I was in high school. I got into the wrong group because I had no friends. And this is 35 years later, and she still really didn't know who she was, because he took her identity from a group of kids because she felt lonely. It's as simple as that, or as difficult as that. The mindfulness of Christ will help us to know who we are, whether it's uncomfortable or not. But the more we're able to look at ourselves in such a way with the Lord, it gets more comfortable every day. We're blessed and rich to share kindnesses and grace with others. And as we share grace and kindness with others, they learn to do the same. You know, I mean, it might sound diminishing. Some people don't know how to be nice. Some people don't know how to share with others. But if you and I see you doing it, I've been here long enough, I know you do it. If we model sharing and self-giving and just simple kindnesses to others, then those who don't know how to do it will learn how to do it. And now it sounds silly to say, well, some people don't know how to be nice. Do you think that's true? It is. It is. I'm not trying to be mean, just speaking truth. Because if they grew up in an environment where there just wasn't that kind of sharing and interaction that way, well, then they don't know. But you know, and I know. You know? Okay, I'll skip the last paragraph. Lunch is getting cold. I see so many of you living in this very way. This is a strong parish, and I pray it continues to be so. You know, I have a hope that in the course of the year, St. Vincent Ferrer will become a pastorate with the two or three other parishes in the area that are likely to close. You pray. I've invited and asked you, please, don't complain. Don't start rumors. If you don't pray for the parish, for your priest, then you lose the right to complain. But I know you will anyway. Say your prayers. Let God have his way. Because he can't rebuild until there's some debuilding. It's been a blessing to serve you, as you have served and challenged me to be my better self, and challenging me to be more self-giving with my love. Thank you for that. I'll pray for you. You pray for me. White on rice.